Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast with me, Dave Shaw, and no, not Alex Carr today. Unfortunately, Alex is working, but I am joined by two very special guests. Guys, I can't believe I'm saying it. It is the Broad Street to Britain High Hopes podcast crossover. I am joined by James Seltzer and Jack Fritz, everybody.
Very exciting.
Around the world goes out.
Right yes.
Now. Yes.
Everyone's...
I think I hear the cheers actually from my and that's got to be what that is. So yeah,
everyone's crying. There's tears in so many eyes right now. It's a beautiful thing.
It is incredible to have you both on. Thank you both for coming on. Jack is absolutely in his element right now, guys. The Phils are drafting as we speak. Jack is all over it. Jack, what's the latest, Jack?
Well, he just drafted a kid from Minnesota that touched 102 in the fall. And if you go by Stuff Plus, he's in the 99th percentile in the country. So he's a reliever. But George Klassen, whatever, him and Orion Kerkering are my future. Again, like, we can keep talking about the cute little 2023 Phillies. I get it. But, like, can we just start focusing on the 2026 Phillies? Like, they are going to be an absolute wagon. They're going to be a wagon. I can't wait.
Just get the time straight away. James, how do you top that? How are you, James?
Stuff Plus. Yes, I'm a big Stuff Plus guy. It's really the only metric that I use. I like Jack's enthusiasm for the draft is like I want to compare it to a kid on Christmas morning, but I feel like that's unfair to Jack because it's way more excited, way more out of control. Like, we just got to experience Jack reacting to the pick in live time.
It was
like,
incredible.
Yeah, it was in all honesty, like, I am 98% sure the kid who got drafted wasn't as excited as Jack when he found out 102 and Stuff Plus. So it was good.
I already know I need to be booking off Dave's off in November for years to come because there's going to be so many parades.
So many parades. No, I'm excited.
Yes. That is Phillies baseball.
I think what has me most excited about this podcast is Dave gets to see and try to communicate with a tired Seltzer, it's not fun to deal with. So, you know, I hope that Dave experiences what I experience when I look at the camera and I can just see my points just going right over his head.
Crossing straight over.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Although, James, it's great to bump into you at Citizens Bank Park last
night. I know. What a thrill, buddy.
Chance.
I know. It was awesome.
And then sharing a moment with the Fanatic together is something I'll never forget.
Oh, it's the coolest. Very lucky to be able to do that.
Talking to Christmas morning, but I have never seen so much happiness from children to adults when a Fanatic walks into a room. We were all there. The suspense was big. The kids were going crazy. They couldn't wait. And I was like, well, I'll play it cool. It's the Fanatic. He walks in. Everyone's faces lights up. Even James's. The smiles are unreal. And the kids are drawn in. I'm drawn in. James is drawn in. It's just, it's the Fanatic. And he just had everybody in just disbelief. You know, it's surreal. And it was just unreal to see the happiness. You know, me and James had to fight the kids off to get near him. It was...
I don't want to, bring down the Fanatic. But I do think it's time to move on from the Fanatic and replace him with Aiden Miller. Maybe even a statue of Brian Barber outside the stadium. I think it's probably like about time for that. So, listen, are we talking Fanatic or are we talking Phil's baseball? What are we talking about right now?
Well, I'll tell you this. Since the Fanatic was born, he's brought a lot more joy to children than the Phillies have. That's for damn sure, buddy.
I would say so. I would say it's not even close, frankly. Not even close.
Honestly, more joy to just everyone, probably, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's special. I can't describe the feeling of being in a room with a Fanatic. It was the best fight. And then Castellanos hit a home run just as he was leaving as well. Mm-hmm. And that's as good as it got for that game. But yeah, it was, what a trip. First one back since recording. Fantastic as ever. amazing to meet so many of you guys and chatting baseball with you guys and London series, of course. Hey, Jack James, you're coming for London series next year, right?
Oh, we're working on it, buddy. We have been campaigning, as they say. And I will say I love seeing Dave with the UK flag there when he was there walking around with it. People taking pictures with him and the flag. It was, I felt a little, cool walking around with you too.
Stop it. Where were you, Jack?
Home. Yeah, very, very, very much home.
He's a dad now. Now he can't make fun of me. Oh, he used to make fun of me for using dad excuses, and now he's like Mr. Dad. Like,
well,
dad with dad all cat, not even just a capital D, all caps, dad.
Well, I guess I'll say this. So early stage is obviously not taking the kid to the ballpark, but I think peak dad Jack is obviously sneaking down to Citizens Bank Park when he's like, what, four? Like four is probably the right time.
Yeah. Where we can Zoe just was 3.5 for their first game.
Yeah, but like, I can just go down for a weekend game. You know what I mean? Like, we got to go see, the boys, We got to be there for George Klassen's debut. Yep.
Yeah, and it'll be 2026 by then. So it'll be prime fills, right?
That's exactly right.
Man, I love this already. The trip to America was amazing. Checked out some. Right, what is it with shore and beaches, right? I got crucified in January for going to New Jersey and calling it the beach instead of the shores. So we go to Delaware and it's like, I can't wait to go to the shore. And it's beach. What is this with beach and shore?
It's really only the Jersey Shore that it not is called the shore, but is like super defensive about anyone not calling it shore and calling it anything else.
Right.
Like it's a real thing. People get really mad.
It really is. Yeah. Lauren was driving us down straight from the airport, down to the beach, down to Fenwick. And it's like, I can't wait to be by the shore. Like it's the shore. And she goes, no, Dave, it's the beach. It's just New Jersey. That's the shore. I'm like, I can't keep up with you guys.
Delaware. It's Delaware beaches, Jersey Shore.
That's ingrained in my mind now. But
and then whatever Ocean City, Maryland is, even though I get that doesn't totally count as from around here.
Ocean City, I prefer Ocean City, New Jersey to Ocean City, Maryland. That was
good take.
That was
good
quite take. An experience. But overall, Rehoboam Beach was awesome. Lewis, Dewey, just great little beach towns.
Liston beaches. It's good stuff.
They don't call hoagies down there either. They call them subs. So that's something else I got crucified for. Oh, man, you guys, I'm trying
to think about it this way. I mean, if you go from England to France, things are pretty different. Right now, it's not as dramatic, but, come on.
Things are very different.
It's a little different.
Joking, Jack. Jeez.
Now, I'm not an expert on this, believe it or not. Is Wales on the same island as Great Britain?
Well, it is. Yeah, Wales is part of the United Kingdom, Great Britain.
Yeah.
How's that?
It that way. The same island. But yeah.
And then there's Scotland.
And then there's Scotland. Big hello to the Scottish and Welsh listeners, by the way.
Shout out to the Scots.
Big hello.
And the Welsh. I got nothing against the Welsh. I'm a fan of everyone.
No, that's it. Get them all in.
Michael Sheehan, he's Welsh, right? I like Michael Sheehan a lot. I'm a big Michael Sheehan fan. See, how about that, Jack? Where's your Welsh? Did you even know that Wales people were called Welsh?
I had an idea. But that's pretty much it. I knew. Wait, hold on. Is there a Dutch of Wales?
A what?
No, there's not a Dutch of Wales. No, this is not going well, by the way. My geography lesson.
There's to tie it into Delaware, Cliffs of Dover.
There is.
Well, you're a big Dover guy.
Yeah, I was just in Dover this past weekend. How about that?
Was there cliffs? Are there cliffs in Dover, Delaware?
I've seen the cliffs of Dover in England. It's amazing.
What about the cliffs of Dover, Delaware?
I didn't see any cliffs. Delaware's so a lot of other stuff, but not cliffs. Yeah.
Didn't see a lot of hills in Delaware. It was nice. I like Delaware. It was very surprising. Maryland it's amazing. You cross the road, you're in Delaware and Maryland. And Maryland's a completely different pace to Delaware. It's they call it slower lower. Is it or lower slower? Is that it?
Slower Correct. Lower.
Yeah.
Slower Without lower. Doubt. Yeah. And it's real.
West is slower too. Yeah. We're the real fast part of America. We're the ones
to start just by crossing the road. Yeah, it was great. introduced some country music, which I'm starting to get more into while I'm over there. Yeah, you know,
very nice.
It hits different when you're in America to when you're here, because usually on a summer day it's raining, you stick it on, it's just not the same. But when you're driving around in 100 degree heat,
yeah,
got some Chris Stapleton, some Tyler Childers, and Whiskey Myers, and it's just
now you're speaking my language. Yeah, talking about Tyler Childers.
Yeah, I got introduced. So Lauren put one of his songs. I'm like, who is this?
He's
this
beautiful.
Great.
He's beautiful.
And then we put on his first album, Bottles.
Are we really on a UK podcast talking about country music? What are we doing here?
I know. What a crossover. Come on. This is a
man. You got to Shake the Frost, Lady May, Follow You to Virgie. All of the, one of the
ever heard of the Beatles? The Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, come on.
Nah, you're starting to learn real music. You're starting to learn real music, stuff you relate to.
I'm going
to
introduce some good stuff. I'm not going to lie. And Chris Stapleton, wow.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton's talented.
Absolutely awesome. And then July the 4th, of course, over there was a great experience. My first experience at...
Well, hold on, but you're British, though.
I know. You didn't feel certain type of way about it. You know?
I'm just a winner.
It wasn't our day, that's for sure.
Hey, look, we gifted you. If it wasn't for us, you'd still be playing cricket right now instead of baseball.
That's good. I like that.
That's
good.
Standing out the deck in 100 degree heat with a thunderstorm all around, watching fireworks on July 4th. That was special. First proper grid experience as well. It was great. Great pancakes for breakfast and
I'm surprised are you even allowed back in your country? July 4th. You love country music.
National pastime of America.
Yeah, you're a sure guy now.
I doubt I'll be allowed back into Philly because getting through customs for the fourth time in 12 months was I was pulled to one side and
they're like, what's going on here, buddy?
Strict interrogation about what I'm doing back in Philadelphia for the
Did you explain to them that I just really like the baseball team? That wasn't a good excuse to get through.
Yeah, awesome trip. And I nearly got to see James. We nearly went to Sea Isle before we changed plans.
Oh, nice.
You're gonna be there, James.
Yeah.
Beer chugging contest.
Yes. A ridiculous, absurd thing that happened to me.
Is he allowed to do this?
At 9:30 in the morning, no less.
And your effort was really good. Well, we watched it on YouTube, and that was a good effort by yourself.
Thanks, pal.
You had no chance, Jason.
No, I went up against a behemoth. You know, just a beast, a beast.
You really did. And actually, I have a question from Drew Ashurst and Lawson Baker, and they say, who on the Phillies do you reckon you could take on and beat?
Great question.
This for London next year.
Yeah. So, who do I think is the best chugger on the Phillies? It's a terrific question. I mean, I feel like Schwarber is the obvious come right to your mind answer. I feel like that dude's chugs some beers, from Iowa, that whole thing. Is there anyone, Jack, that kind of like thinking the, I think it's just such an obvious answer. I'm almost like questioning it, but it just feels like it's so clearly Schwarber. Brandon Marsh, maybe.
Marsh could be the other one.
Hoskins. I think Hoskins can.
Reese is like a quiet, like when Jason Kelsey said that Nick Foles beat him in a chugging contest. Hoskins is that kind of unassuming, but I'll bet you the dude could chug kind of thing. Marsh, I think, because Marsh would just be like a psycho about it. I could see him being really
No matter what it takes, Brandon Marsh is going to beat you. He will go to whatever degree it takes.
Kind of like Jason Kelsey. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like competitive athletes.
How was that for you, James? Just in the moments in your life, like you stood there next to Jason Kelsey.
It's still surreal. It was like definitely a top tier moment for sure. Certainly one of the two or three best in my career. And just a definitely a strange but awesome life moment. I mean, it was like on freaking SportsCenter and like TMZ and stuff. It's like, what the hell is happening now?
Well, over here as well. So, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
Over
here international. In the UK group chat. Exactly. It is. I've never been so okay with being, internet famous for losing. It's probably the best way I can put it.
You took a big fat L, but.
It was a definitive, clear, no doubt about it, L.
We'd set that up next year in London. Schwab's versus Seltzer. I think that's with some proper British beer as well.
It's going to be his new bit. It's just challenging everyone to a beer. I think if it was a 16 ounce and not Bud heavy, I think he would have been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I might not have beat him, but I certainly would have been right there with him. It would have been close, you know, but you know, man, that was tough.
They had to set it up for Kelsey to win.
As soon as it came out, I knew I was done. The moment I saw that thing, I was like, "Welp!" I looked at it. I didn't even know how to hold it. I was like, "Do I do two hands? Do I grab it by the handle?" No, I'm like, "I think I got to do two hands." Like, I didn't even know how to go about it. And like, Kelsey gets down in like this stance, and he's like all like tensed up, and he's got his hands on it, and I'm like, "Oh, I am screwed right now." So
yeah, he meant business. He was not there to lose.
Yeah, he took it seriously, which was, you know, in and of itself a shock, you know.
I loved it, mate. I was smiling for you, buddy, the whole time. I'm like, what a cool moment for James. Even after you lost, you stood there smiling like,
Win for him. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, like, that's something that he gets to, like, when Jason Kelsey goes into the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. Like, it's going to be like, hey, when Zoe's getting older, being like, oh, what has dad done in his life? You know, she gets to say, well, he chugged a beer against Jason Kelsey in front of a million Eagles fans in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's like the mummer outfit's definitely one, but it might be number two off the field for him. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
like in terms of like what people will like talk about, like the off the field legend of Jason Kelsey, like it definitely was everywhere.
Although it was funny seeing you refer to as some Eagles fan.
I know. Well, that was only in one outlet or whatever. The rest called me radio host. There was one outlet that called me a local patron, is what it was or whatever. Yeah,
nice.
Oh, I love it. Right, yeah. So we're in the All-Star break. Right, Jack, draft time.
Yes.
Devin, is it?
By the way, may I just say real quick, Dave, this is like the most high hopes pod ever right here. We've like barely talked baseball to start. We're diving right into the draft. Like, I just want to applaud you for being very on brand with us and showing the world what we do. So thank
correct.
You. Ah, yes. Cheers, James. And now Jack's going to be in his element. Because I can see his face is excited already. So we've got shortstop Aiden Miller. We've got outfielder. Is it Devin Saltibat? Is that how you say it?
I think it's Saltibat.
Better say it right. Oh, I'm gonna give you crap forever.
I think it's Saltibat.
Saltibat and Tayshaun Walton. Now all I know is these guys are really young, right? Straight out of high school, not college yet, which is quite a rare strategy for the Phils. Am I getting this right? This is a bit different for the Phils right now.
Well, what's great about it is that this is what the Padres have done for years, to where they would develop so much talent. All they did was draft high school guys. And Preston Mattingly obviously came over from the Padres. And obviously Brian Barber has been here and he's drafted high school guys in the first round the last couple of years anyway. But what I like about it is I just have a belief that these guys would be first round picks if they go to college. Like, I think Tayshaun Walton, if he goes to college, is a first round pick. I don't know much about Devin Saltibat. Like, I don't. But he was ranked higher than Tayshaun Walton on some sites that I trust. So I think that's a pretty good sign. And I like Tayshaun Walton a lot. But like, Aiden Miller, for me, was a top 15 player in the class. And I didn't bring him up much on high hopes because I was like, there's no way he's going to be there. Like, I'd be floored. It's a lot like how Mick Abel got to the Phillies that one year where I wasn't talking about him because I didn't think he was going to be there. And the only reason I think he was there was because he broke his hamate bone and he's 19 years old and people are freaked out by, like, not freaked out, but like, they don't like the idea of taking an older high school guy because they view it as like a year of like projection that is taken away. But yeah, it's an interesting strategy. It's I don't know how they're going to pay all these guys. Like, that's the one thing I'm worried about.
That was the next question, yeah.
Because I would think that Tayshaun Walton will cost a good amount and probably over slot. I assume Aiden Miller was at slot or over slot to get him at 27. So we'll see if they can even sign all these guys. But I just like the idea. I like taking shots, darts at a dartboard. I like betting on the guys they have you know, in the farm system to develop these hitters, you know, more than in years past, we're seeing these guys slowly start to turn. And just finally taking like upside guys and not taking boring, safe college picks, you know, and that's what has me most excited. And that's why I think Barr's doing great.
Are any of these guys a threat to go to college?
I think Tayshaun Walton could, for sure. He's a commit to Miami. And like, I think it's going to cost a good amount. And I don't know how much, like maybe Miller goes to try to boost his draft stock. I would be surprised if that happened. And then Devin Saltzman, I think he's going to sign because he's in like the MLB draft league, which like out of high school. So that seems like someone that really wants to do it. So I don't know. I think they're all, I obviously hope they all sign, but I just have this feeling like this is going to cost them a good amount. And they didn't have that much money heading into the draft.
What happens, Jack, if they do go to college? Do we just lose that pick? Is that it for the Phils?
Yeah, they lose the pick. Sometimes you get a comp pick. Like when the Mets, they weren't able to sign Kumar Rocker. They got an extra first round pick. When the Astros couldn't sign Appel for the first time, they got an extra pick. I don't know how it works later in the draft. Like maybe a second round guy, you get a second round comp pick or whatever. But mostly, yeah, that's the risk of taking the guys is that they may not sign, and then you're kind of SOL.
Right. And it's amazing you can say they may decide to go to college instead of, you know, being the Phils farm system. Now we've got this amazing $1 million complex in Clearwater. Now they're really, really focusing on bringing these young players up. Surely if you're a young player like that and you see these facilities we have in Clearwater, it's a no-brainer, right? You want to work in this organization. You want to play in this organization. Why would they sort of go to college and not want to get started straight away with the Phils?
Because it's betting on yourself. For Saltzman, like he's signing for $680,000 is like the max he can sign for. If he goes to college and performs, then hopefully gets drafted higher, and then you're talking about millions while signing. And plus, now at the NILs where you can get paid, maybe it's a little bit easier. I think that's more of a risk for Tayshaun Walton though than at Saltzman. Like Tayshaun Walton, third round pick. Fourth round pick. Fourth round pick gets to go to Miami, play there for a couple of years, and then maybe go in the mid seconds, first round. It's all about improving your draft stock. I think that's why guys go to college.
Okay, that's fascinating. Actually, I didn't realize that was the case at all. We'll stay on the prospect sort of line right now. The prospects in our system: Crawford, Kiering, who you reckon could be in the Phils, what, come September?
If I got my way, yeah, of course. I mean, he'd be up after the All-Star break, but that might not happen. But, I mean, either way, he's flying through the system, and every, like, smart analyst guy that I follow that does minor league stuff, they're just blown away by the stuff. So, looks like they got one right there. So he's kind of flying up, and it was Justin Crawford in the futures game. So that was
the table as well, which is great to see. And by all accounts, he was excellent. What, 99, touching 99, struck out two, if I read that rightly.
Yeah, he was great.
Again, could see Abel come September, or do you think it's just going to be a bit too early? But
I think it's going to be too early. I think they still want to see more command within the strike zone. Fastball is still kind of all over the place. It was funny. It was actually really, he was commanding it well in the futures game, which has not totally been the case at Reading. I think he's probably a year away. I'd be surprised if at least by next year it's not a real consideration.
And just to keep on the regularness of the show, we'll know we all follow Gabriel Rincones.
Oh, UK's own.
He's having a hell of a July right now, guys. We said when he first went to High A, he's going to take a bit of time to get developed, to get into it. He's having a great July, guys. He's averaging 0.355 right now, slugging at 0.710. Three home runs since July the 4th. Four RBIs in the last week. He's finally settling in, finding his feet, and starting to find his power again, because we said before the start of the season, potentially great power. Speedster as well. He's got a bit of everything about him.
Oh, look at this.
Excited because he could, a long way to go, but he could be the first Team GB player to represent GB, Britain, for the Phillies. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Early days, but we're closely monitoring his progress. But it's great to see him now starting to do really well. And fingers crossed, the Blue Claws keep him going.
I know James is excited about Rincon's as well.
Look
about Jack. This
my favorite.
He can't wait. He can't wait. He was actually okay with passing on Chase Davis in the draft because he felt like Gabriel Rincon was showing similar signs in year two.
You stole those words out of my mouth. That was absolutely that's
exactly
awesome
right. Yep. James also said, he's talking about any chance that James gets to talk about the Lakewood Blue Claws or the Clearwater Threshers setting records for stolen bases. It's just it's one of his passion projects, and that's what I appreciate the most about him.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, James.
I can't even add anything. He nailed it.
We've covered it all. There's just nothing to add, James.
Yeah, we were just texting about it. It was wild.
Thanks for having us on. All right, see you guys.
All right, Phillies. Let's get back to the current then.
Yes.
The euphoria of the Rays series, and you know what? I did the schoolboy era. I made the big Philly sports schoolboy era. I got carried away after the Rays series and after that first game with the Marlins. I was sucked in, and the euphoria of the Rays, just unbelievable. 3:30 in the morning, going absolutely crazy. I was pumped, couldn't sleep for ages. The Pache heroics again, late night, couldn't sleep for an hour afterwards. All I kept thinking about was Red October. Like, the boys are going back. We're going back. There's no way we're dropping this series to Miami. We're going back, looking at the potential playoff dates. Oh, can I get out there? Like, oh, there's something brewing with this team, something special brewing with this team. And then, of course, we fell flat in the final two games. Didn't quite happen. But overall, James, the first half of the year, considering how we started as well, you can't really complain too much because I still feel there's so much more to come from this team as well.
Yeah, we wanted to win that series. It was frustrating, obviously, to limp into the All-Star break, especially after the best win of the season on Friday night. I mean, that was thrilling. Like, it was a thrilling win. 3 runs in the ninth, the Pache homer. Like, it was a thrilling win and to tie the record for 13 straight road wins. But, like, you know, they got 13 straight road wins. That's freaking awesome. They're 7 games above 500. They're right there, you know, with these teams, with the Giants and the Marlins and the Brewers-Reds combo and the Dodgers-D-backs combo. Like, they're all kind of bunched up together. And to your point, I think we haven't seen the best baseball the Phillies are going to play. You know, I think certainly offensively, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. And, you know, Jack was just talking about guys they have for trade chips. Like, I think they're going to improve the roster as the season goes on. Plus, you know, just from a scheduling perspective, I mean, they have more home games than anyone else in baseball over the second half, which is a real big thing, especially for this team. You know, they've proven they can win on the road, but they're still a better team at home and have been for years and years. So that's big. And then, you know, we've talked about in the pod, but the August schedule lightens up. There are some real stretches in there. We have some real, you know, real easy matchups. The Phillies have played a tough schedule to start the season and they found their footing. You know, they got through the part of the season where it felt like it could have spiraled and it didn't. So I wanted them to win the series, to take one of those last two. I didn't expect them to sweep because the Marlins are good. You know, I think we're so used to the Marlins beating us all the time as a bad team. And we're like, how can we lose to the Marlins? They stink. Marlins are good now. So, like, at least, you know, right now they're pretty good. So it's not as much of a shame from the Marlins of it perspective, but it was frustrating. But I think, you know, they got an emotional high of tying the record, of winning the game like that. And they had a couple game letdown heading into the All-Star break. We all know what it's like when you're about to go on vacation. You know, that last day before Jack's on vacation right now, I could tell you about it. So, look, did I like that they lost those two? No. But do I understand it? And does it worry me at all for the rest of the season? No. So, you know, I'm in a really good spot with the Phils. I think the best is yet to come.
Just need a kickstart. I think the All-Star breaks come at the right time. Alvarado's now banged up. Harper took a hit. Stott took a hit yesterday. Suarez doesn't look quite right. Aaron Nola, I know it's been discussed at length. The highs and lows of Nola. God, the Tampa series was incredible. You know, the Aaron that we know he can be. And then, of course, again, last time out, just gets crucified for every mistake. Jack Nola, I don't know what more you can say, really, except it just seems to be the same old this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just so annoying because you keep waiting for him to get on that, like, month-long roll where it's just like, there's Aaron Nola. And it just, it's been two good starts, one bad. Two bad starts, one good. I don't know. Like, I just don't think you can lean on him and totally know what you're getting on a start in, start out basis at this point. You kind of just have to almost go into Aaron Nola starts with your hands over your eyes and just have to hope for the best rather than like totally believing him. And that's not a fun place to be at with a guy that's supposed to be your number two. Because you want to trust those guys as much as you can. But the good part is that outside of him, they've had really, really good starting pitching. Now, he's obviously contributed in some of those starts, but for the most part, besides that him, they've been really good. Hopefully the Ranger thing is just like a little bit of a fatigue thing from coming back from the injury. Yeah. And second half, he can kind of get rolling here and get back to being the Ranger that we saw in June, because the Ranger we saw in June was stupid. It was fun. I think this was just one big, like, just get to the All-Star break. We're so close to being home. I mean, they play the most road games in baseball, which I think
has an effect, right?
Absolutely. Like, the season's a grind, man. It's like every single day getting on planes, going to this city, that city, all that. Like, yes, it absolutely plays a role. The home stuff in the second half is going to matter.
And three, I think we've had the most West Coast trips out of anyone so far this year. I think we've had at least three.
Yeah, but the good thing is on that front too, they have no more, like, I don't think they have any games that start after 8 o'clock or something, like 8:10 or whatever. Like, they're really early for the rest of the season. There might be like one more series that's later, but for the most part, like, they've knocked all that out.
We've got to play the Giants in San Francisco. Are we done with them?
No. Yeah, they're done, right?
We might well be done. Good, because those 3 a.m. starts are brutal.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd watch those the next day for sure.
As someone who has to get up at 3 a.m. my time, I feel
you. Yeah, you guys can text each other.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. Except that my 3 a.m. is his 8 a.m. So I could actually just text him anyway.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I'll be up anyway. I'll be at work, well settled into my work day by then. In terms, you got JT, Kyle. Kyle's not quite being Kyle. You know, I'm not looking at his average. I just want him to keep going with the RBIs and home runs. You know, just keep doing your thing, Kyle. But that hasn't been as consistent this year as last season. Trey Turner, I don't know. What, Jack? Trey Turner, like, he's going to step out of it, right? He's going to get back to Trey Turner, right?
I mean, I guess we've seen signs. We've seen signs the last, I don't know, 2 weeks. Like, he's hit a couple home runs. He's getting on base a little bit more. It's still just like, even when he gets a hit and it's not a home run, it's just kind of like a little bleeder over the shortstop or second baseman's head. It feels like the hard contact from Trey just hasn't even been close to being there. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that. I mean, I believe heading into the Marlins series, he had like a 7-game hit streak. He's hit a couple home runs. I don't think he's been he hasn't been like he was early in the season. You're just not feeling the impact that I think we were all expecting to feel from Trey Turner. We're not getting it right now.
It's frustrating, because if we had last season's Carl Schwarber and last season's Trey Turner with Bryce being Bryce, then this team would just be, we'd have a lot more wins, I think, even with Nola's struggles and the bad start with the pitching we had. I feel it's going to happen. I feel Bryce will get back to being Bryce at some point. For me, anything before the All-Star that Bryce did was just a bonus, because we just didn't really expect him to be back before the All-Star. You know, and then we got Christian Pache. You know, one of the things I've got right from when we first got him, and I tweeted saying Kevin Long is going to fix him. He's going to be an underrated player for the Phils. Christian Pache. Absolutely unbelievable. Defensively, he's a different caliber to what we've got out there at the moment. You know, he, Marsh, and Castellanos. All of a sudden, we've actually got a good outfield right now with those three out there. His confidence is sky high. He got a home run, the heroics, in the first game. Nearly got a three-run home run in the second game, went for a double. The guy is just, and he's enjoying it. You know, he's stealing bases. He's smiling, the tongue's out. You know, he's like a new player reborn right now. What a transformation to what it's been like for him with the Braves and the A's.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's a top 10 prospect in baseball, you know, and I loved the trade when they made it, you know, unlike Jack, who hated Christian Pache. I love the move because I was like, why not go get this dude for like essentially nothing, who was a top 10 prospect in the sport, and let your guys get their hands on him and see what they can do and see what they can get out of him. And look, it's been way better than even I could have expected this quickly. And I'm sure there'll be an adjustment period with the league adjust to him and vice versa. But I mean, the early returns are super exciting. And, you know, Jack mentioned it on the last pod, but you know, he's easily one of the best defensive players we've seen in our lifetime in a Phillies uniform. Like he is a wizard out there. You know, the ground he covers, the arm, all of it. He is a spectacular, like spectacular transcendent outfielder. And if the bat, you know, I mean, he's hitting way better than, you know, in its limited time, but you know, even if he could be like a 280, 20 homer type guy, you know, at his peak, I mean, that's like with the defense, that's an insanely valuable baseball player. So, I think there's a lot of potential for him. And you know, again, I said on the pod, if you know, if he keeps this progression going, it could end up being like Dave's best trade here. I mean, it could be a heist.
Yeah, honestly, it could. He's that sort of player as well that is exciting, and he lifts the fans.
He's fun.
Yeah, he lifts the rest of the team with some of his plays. You know, you can't help but feel the energy when he's out there as well. And he's such a young player as well. I'm excited, you know. And if Bryce can play at first base, then we put Kyle to DH, Pache, Marsh, Castellanos. I feel really good about that. And then whatever additions we get, Jack, what additions do you think we get? What do you think the Phillies do? Because like we said, we've got trade pieces coming. Jake Cave is probably going to be a trade piece. His value will be good for somebody out there, surely. So what would you? What do you think?
He's a journeyman. I mean, like, what are we getting for Jake?
I mean, I think the fact that he has been crushing like this in the minors and has not made it back to the majors really says something. You know what I mean,
that's true.
They have determined that he is a quad A player. He is someone who crushed minor league pitching, but just isn't good enough to major league pitch. At least I think that's what they've determined.
Somebody would take a punt on Jake. Come on.
Yeah, like maybe for Shohei.
Throw in.
Yeah, Jake K for Shohei. Who says no? I feel like I've said it a lot, and it's just I don't know anything they're going to do with the deadline until Bryce comes back and if he can play first base. I mean, that's pretty much what determines everything, because if he can play first base, then they could possibly look for an outfield addition. If he can't play first base, then I think Goldschmidt gets put back in on the front burner here. You know, so like I just it all for me comes down to whether or not he can play first, and if he can't, then it changes everything. Pitching staff wise, like I would go if Assis is available or someone like that that's under contract for a couple of years, I'd be in on that. Like Lance Lynn was something that I was interested in like a bounce back kind of thing, but I'd rather just stick with Chris Sanchez at this point.
Then
I do think that they should go out and try to find a bullpen piece somewhere. You know, like Alvarado, hopefully he's fine. Sir Anthony, the oblique's the oblique, man. That's something that pitchers have struggled to come back with for years. I mean, Scherzer's never even been right since the last one. So
everyone, not just pitchers. I feel like obliques suck for any baseball player. Like it's always an injury. Like oblique injury, it's like, oh, I'll be back in 4 weeks. It's like 2 months. Like
just never goes away.
Yeah.
So I think bullpen's a sneaky ad now. Trying to find like another back end option that can come in and you know, get outs and be a quality arm. Like obviously they have Bilotti down in AAA that can come up and do a job, but at the same time it's like there's a chance for an upgrade there. I just think it all comes down to Bryce playing first base, and starter I don't think is too big of a concern unless like a Cease is available and you want to replace Nola with him after the year. And kind of go from there. But either way, I think it's trending towards a Dave kind of deadline where we get like a true big swing, like go for it kind of Dombrowski move. And for me, that's that for everyone. I think that's very exciting.
I think so, because he said so many times, this is our window right now. This is, you know, we want to win the two games we missed out on to be world champions. We're going for it this time. And I am excited to see what Dave Dombrowski does. I think we could be in for a few surprises. I'm excited. I just wish the All-Star break wasn't now and we can just get straight into the Padres. I'm going to quickly ask you two to grade some players for their performances so far this year. But quickly, I heard you talk about last night, and I had this tweet lined up ready for this morning, and I heard you talk about it this morning. Scott Kingery, As everyone knows, listen to the pod. I'm a big Scotty fan, but I love the guy and I want to see him succeed so bad. I just want to see him release that potential that we thought he had back when he first came up. But could you see Kingery coming up for Harrison? It sparked wild debate on Twitter this morning. Boys, what do you reckon? Kingery in, Harrison gone. We've got nothing to lose. For me, it's a bit of a no-brainer right now, but Harrison, like you said on your pod, Harrison's a good guy. He's a fun guy. Keep with the vibes.
Baseball's all about vibes.
Baseball, that's all the Phillies are. They're a club full of vibes. So the thing that they have to determine is the Kingery thing real or is it just playing against AAA competition? Because if it's real, then yeah. If it's just like, because if you're cutting Josh Harrison, you are cutting a guy for Scott Kingery who's never really done it in the big leagues besides like what, June of 2019. And at least Josh Harrison provides, you know, good vibes, good defense, mostly unless he's in the outfield. And can hit the ball at the ballpark, you know, every once in a while. But it does the Josh Harrison thing does feel a lot like the Didi thing last year. Not as big of a deal because Didi was the starting shortstop, but it's like a clear like we can upgrade this spot. So Weston Wilson also has been doing really good at AAA. He's not as exciting as Scott Kingery, but he is the 11th highest played player on the team this year. So, you know, maybe see what that guy can do.
Right, quickly, I'm going to throw some players at you, and I want you both to give me some quick grades on their season so far, like a half-term report on these guys. So we'll start with Kyle. James, Kyle Schwarber, what would you give him? A, B, C, D, E, F. Where are you going?
Like C minus.
C minus, Jack?
Yeah. I had him at a C plus the other day. He is fourth in the league in homers and fourth in the league in walks. So that does have value. But the defense. Yeah.
That's why it was an F.
Yeah. I'll go C plus. And just like for my own sanity, I need him to go on a little bit of a run here because it's driving me bonkers. Like everyone being mad at Schwarber. I know. Whatever. I would say a nice little C plus for
nice little C plus. Yeah, I agree with that. Castellanos,
A.
I mean A plus. Even defense. Even the defense has been pretty good. Love him.
Gold Glover, Silver Slugger. Like the guy is just great to see. It's great to see him and Kimbrel out there at the All Star. The content coming through from the Phils and Alex Coffey. It's great to see, and Topper as well in some wild shirts. Alec Boehm, boys.
Like B minus.
I would say B minus.
Yeah, I would say before this week I was at a solid C plus.
Yeah, I think I would have been a C plus before this week too.
And then he had a good week, and you look at the numbers, and it's like 280.
He's between B minus and C plus.
Sure. Yeah. So B. No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said. My bad. Way off. I still like the power thing needs to. He's gonna be 27 in August, like, which is shocking because it feels like he just got here, but right. He's one of those older college kids. He's fine. The defense has been really, really good, regardless of what happened on Sunday. It's just the power thing for me. And he gets in these weird funks where he's just like grounding out every single at bat. It's just like, just hit the ball in the air.
Just keep watching.
Just hit the ball in the air.
Bryson Stott.
What's higher than an A?
Yeah, I give him an A.
A plus, 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 plus.
Legitimate A for him. I give him an A.
I love him. He is everyone that you saw at the Shore's favorite player. I'm sure he is a 50 plus year old baseball fan's favorite player for sure.
Let's go, JT.
C plus.
Yeah, I'd probably go B minus. But I guess my thing with him is that I just expect him to kind of go on a little bit of a streak here and be fine. And he ends the year. What he usually does is like 265 with like 17 homers.
Yeah,
like
he somehow just keeps getting there, doesn't he?
He'll get there. It might be frustrating how he gets there, but he'll get there.
Zach Wheeler.
Like B minus.
B. Yeah, I was going to say a B.
Yeah, not quite up to Zach Wheeler sort of stand-up that we're used to, is he? Do you think it's a regression, or do you think he's just struggling with something this year and it's a bit of a blip?
No, I think, look, he pitched deep into October last year, into November. He just hasn't looked, you know, he's been good this year, but I think the underlying numbers say he's been, he's had some unlucky starts where there's soft contact and all that. But, you know, I think that, you know, he's never pitched in the playoffs before in his career ever. He's never pitched since like the very beginning of October or whatever. So, you know, I just think that's a little, you know, wear and tear from a long year and kind of bouncing back. He's obviously done it better than Nola, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Craig Kimbrell. I can't even believe that we're talking about Craig Kimbrell now in the All-Star. You know, I didn't know much about Kimbrell before he signed. I was relying on you two on the high hopes to tell me.
We led you astray, my friend.
No one in the world thought he was going to be good except Dave Dombrowski. Shout out to Dave. You got one, buddy. Proud of you. You got others too, obviously.
And Hoffman, what a surprise piece. He's been in the bullpen as well. It's been solid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was that period where I thought Thompson was trying to rely on him too much in a high leverage spot against the Braves, where it's like, we don't need to do this. Like, let him just continue to develop. But if you look at his overall numbers, I mean, I think he's in the 2.8s of an ERA. The most under talked about, you know, performance of that Friday night, besides, like, we all remember the Pache home run. But, I mean, Jeff Hoffman had that 2-inning scoreless to keep that a 3-1 game and give him a shot. So, stuff is power. The changeup is like a split changeup at 91. So that's exciting stuff. I like Jeff Hoffman. And it seems like the Phillies, while everyone was yelling at them to bring up Elotti and Brogdon to replace those two, I mean, Junior Marte's been really good. Jeff Hoffman's really good. So they are making the Phillies look smart.
And guys, before I let you go, predictions at this point. Wild card, it looks inevitable, the wild card. The Braves seem to be absolute runaways at the moment. But right now, what are you guys feeling? What are you feeling? Red October, NLCS against the Braves. We're going back to the World Series. The boys are going to go all the way. Jack, what are you feeling right now?
I feel like they make the wild card. My thing is, like, I hope it's the sixth one because I want the NL Central. I can't sit here and say with a straight face, like, they're going to go back to the, like, they could. You know, I mean, they could. It'd be awesome. I'd love it. But I think they at least make the wild card, win that round, and then we'll see who they play. It's hard to recreate what they did last year. But, you know, I also think they're one of those teams that when they get in, they just have that. I think there's a switch where they kind of lock in, which, like, we saw the Rays series. The Rays series just like October, where it was like, oh, wait, hold on. They're just doing everything right. Like, why don't they do this all the time? Because they're the Phillies. They're not allowed to do it all the time. I think they get in. I think they went around. And after that, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, that race series, I got the Red October vibes back.
Oh, I know. You're right. Did you book another flight to Philly after the race series or no?
I was looking at potential playoff dates and which weeks would fall into where. And oh man, and then the Marlins kept me crashing down. James, quickly from you, same again.
Exactly what Jack said. I agree with everything he said. Look, baseball playoffs are chaos. You just got to get in. Look, this team, like we said before, I don't think any of the three of us think we've seen the best of the Phillies. Let's hope the best of the Phillies comes in September and October. You know, you want to be hitting your stride then and getting the playoffs and take advantage of the chaos.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you want to know peak high hope spin zone? After when they were winning the third game of the Rays series, I said to myself, I think they're peaking too early. So it was good to see the Marlins series happen.
That's strong right there. Yeah.
That they did not peak too early.
Yes, that's a good point. Because we can't go.
I love that. You could say that coming off how they just lost a home series to the Nationals. And you're like, oh, they're peaking too early because of the Rays series. It's great.
And that's peak Philly fandom right there as well, isn't it? guys, thank you so much for coming on, guys. It's been awesome. Jack, I know you're going to continue following the draft. I look forward to seeing your tweets, the lowdown on who we get and your excitement. Guys, what an absolute pleasure. And we'll catch up later on in the season.
Sounds great, awesome. Buddy. Anytime.
Anytime, buddy. We love you.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday. Me and Alex will be previewing the big Padres series, 4-game series against the Padres this weekend. But that is it, guys. Enjoy the All-Star break. Enjoy seeing Casty out there and Kimbrel repping the Phils. And of course, Topper. It's going to be fun. From me, Dave Shaw, it is Ring the Bell. From Jack.
Ring the Bell.
And from James.
Ring the Bell.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, guys. Bye-bye.
All right.